Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the World on Drugs podcast. This is your boy, Bruce Gray. I'm filling in for my pal, Steve Fury, this week. He actually went under the knife and got that old man knee of his finally replaced. Fixed up. Not as banged up, but my man is on the couch chilling. So this is going to be part two of the episode with Frank Castillo about, you know, how Vladimir Putin came into power and all kinds of other Russian shenanigans. So sit back, relax, enjoy, subscribe, five-star reviews, do it all. Enjoy the episode.
He's sad they get a chair.
When someone in my family gets cancer, I get their things. Yeah. Dead now. Shortly after this incident, Trofimov is arrested along with two subordinates who are caught trafficking cocaine. During these trials, 10 contracted murders are pinned on Trofimov, completing his role as a scapegoat and the sole example of a bad actor in the FSB who took control of his subordinates for money. Alex and Yuri fully believe that this was done with several members of the FSB who tried to cooperate with internal investigations. Trofim is just doing his job pretty well, and he has to take the fall. What's one time you got screwed over at your work or any of your jobs you've had?
Oh, you know what? I got screwed over at Zoomies, and I've been holding this grudge for fucking years. Mm-hmm. There was a Zoomies, and I think it was the Valley Fair Mall. I worked at the Zoomies in the Great Mall, and I went there, and me and my cousin. So it was a thing where, like, if you went to one Zoomies, you found something you liked, you can have it shipped over to your Zoomies, and they give you a discount. That way you can still use your store discount. Anyways, this guy, I guess some other kids that were, like, Mexican came in and, like, trashed one of the fucking walls or whatever. They were just assholes.
Yeah.
So then when I went in, he just assumed we were with them because we were Mexican. Yeah. Is my guess, but I remember I went back to my store and my manager pulled me aside and was like, did you ruin another store's wall? And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, they said that you ruined it so bad they had to stay an hour and a half after closing to fix it. And I was like, why the fuck would I do that? Anyways, I got blamed for it.
You get fired?
No, I had already put my 2 weeks in because I was leaving. But I was just like, what the fuck? It was just the weirdest thing. And it sucked because my manager believed him. And I was like, nah, fuck that guy. He wore like a back brace. And yeah, he apparently like broke his back doing some dumb
shit.
What
a pussy.
Yeah, exactly. But he blamed it on me. And I've never found that guy. But I just want to let him know.
But it's on site. If we see you, back brace fuck.
Zoomies, motherfucker.
Alex and Yuri say that all the actions during the 90s were meant to create a path to power for who? Vladimir Putin. Former KGB agent and influential Russian politician. During the mid-90s, there were many incidents of Moscow officers investigating the FSB who turned up missing or beheaded by bandits. If those direct methods were effective, poisoning was a common method utilized by the FSB as well. Victims would die of symptoms of cirrhosis of the liver, even when their families noted that the victim drank very little or not at all.
That's crazy, because if that's the case, then I have a lot of family that have been killed by the KGB.
I think the KGB's looking at me right now.
The KGB is responsible for half of the alcoholism deaths. Yeah.
KGB's going after Ireland, Scotland for very long
time. There's so many Mexicans that are enemies of the KGB.
If you died today, what do you think people would think the reason would be?
Oh, fentanyl in the marijuana.
Which is not a thing, I don't believe.
You know what? I don't believe it either, and I always think that's such a crazy, ridiculous, like, I don't know. You have a joke about it, and it's also just, like, it's so funny. It was like, there's no reason to put fentanyl in marijuana.
It's more expensive than the marijuana. Marijuana's the cheapest thing.
But also, like, it's also, like, who's just, like, I don't know. I think if you smoke a lot of weed, you know what I mean? I don't know. It just doesn't.
Well, heroin's not weed. So if you smoked weed, and then you go, like, nodding out, you'd be like, okay, there's something weird.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Can you also, like, someone was pointing out, was like, if you burn fentanyl.
Yeah, you can smoke opiates.
Yeah, but can if you smoke it, like, if it's on weed, would that kill you?
It's a good point.
Like, does it, I don't know if it has the same effect of, like, it legit, if it was in a joint, could that kill you? Because I don't know.
I think smoking is the least effective way to get in your body.
Yeah.
And then railing it, or, I think eating it's the worst, the one that kills it the most. I don't know if you OD on smoking drugs.
Because you know what would suck? Is if you put fentanyl on weed and then that shit hit harder and you were like, this is kind of nice. And now you're just like.
Oh, I mean, I would love. I smoked Roxycontins for a little while.
What are Roxycontins?
So Roxycontins were 30 milligram Oxycontins, okay? They're small blue pills. And I only had. Listen, I have a very controlled. I just don't have like the addict thing where I do it and I got to keep doing it. But I got these ones. And when you smoke them on a piece of foil with like a little. Like a little tube, it tasted like marshmallows. And I mean tasted like fucking marshmallows. So that was pretty cool, but they're impossible to get anymore. Let's see. Can you OD from smoking heroin?
What? No, I'm talking about fentanyl.
Yeah, but I don't smoke it. Yeah, I don't really. I think it's a lot harder to OD from smoking something.
Okay.
Because when you put it straight in your bloodstream, there's no cut. You just die. I don't think. I mean, you probably could, but I don't think it's really. Just like you can OD off cocaine, but you would have to do so much that it'd be like. You'd have to be like fucking Scarface, just putting your head into a mountain. So, the FSB slips while creating the second war between Russia and Chechnya. 1999, the FSB operatives are sent to create a terrorist attack in Ryazan at an apartment complex of civilians. A tenant, this is fucking hilarious. A tenant sees people carrying 50-pound sacks of sugar into the basement of the complex. They call the police and are treated as crackpots. It takes over 30 minutes for local police to arrive and examine the sugar sacks. It is discovered that the sacks are a mixture of sugar and hexogen crystals. Hexogen is the primary ingredient that makes up plastic explosives and is highly volatile and is considered a very powerful explosive. Another interesting fact about hexogen is it is used nearly exclusively in the construction of military-style explosives. Soon the incident was hailed as the Ryazan police thwarting the terrorist attack plot of bandits from Chechnya who are still bitter over the war. I'm going to be honest, so far the Russian military seems kind of dumb. They sure do mess up a lot or get caught. Have you ever caught someone in a lie or stopped a criminal from doing something?
Yeah, I caught someone in a lie. Someone I was working with said that they had paid like a bunch of money into something, and it was just kind of like, no, you didn't. I paid for everything. And then I was in there, and I like had the receipts for everything. And then I was like, show me the receipts you guys are talking about. And they were like, oh, all right, never mind. And I was like, exactly. It was like, it was so funny. And it was such a bold statement that I was like, whoa, maybe I am crazy. And then I was like, oh, wait, no. And I was like, do you have any receipts? And they were just like, oh, shit. And I was like, one question took down your whole lie. That's crazy.
Having a paper trail just toying with someone. I'm like, oh, yeah, what do you got? Can you show me anything like that? No. Bam, sacked it on your face, dog. One of them was, so I was doing some shows in San Francisco when I still live in Sacramento. And this girl was like, I want to come with you. It was 3 days over Thanksgiving. I was doing a Thanksgiving that got a place, which Thanksgiving was a big show. All the food had weed in it. So the first day we do a show and then we're gonna go to a Fleetwood Mac cover band, and the opener was a Tom Petty cover band. Pretty fun, interesting thing to do in San Francisco. We bring all of our best stuff because you know when you're coming from Sacramento to San Francisco or San Jose to San Francisco, feels like you're going to a big city. You know you're gonna bring your nice stuff, kind of look good. So we got all our stuff in there. We have a great time. We're coming to my car and I'm looking at a guy and he's looking into my car, and I'm like that. He's got a great hat. And I get closer, and I'm like, that's my hat. And I get closer, and all my windows were bashed in. And I go, hey, man, what the fuck are you doing? And he's so cracked out. He goes, don't worry. There's still some stuff in here to steal. Then I run up there, and I kick him in the hip, like right on the side. He falls down and take my hat. They had stolen. They bashed all my windows out, and they had stolen her briefcase of all the nicest clothes that she had because she wanted to go out to the big city. They'd stolen all of my nice shit, and I had brought 2 quarter pounds that they stole from me. Then we had to drive home because our whole weekend's ruined. No windows. 2 a.m. in San Francisco. Relationship never recovered. Never really talked again after that. It was a silent drive home.
Oh, okay. If we're going to talk about losing clothes, one time me and my cousin and my friend went and saw an underground metal band at this like music hall in Eastside San Jose, and we were chilling there, and it was a lot of metalheads, and you could tell there was like some Mexican cholas there who weren't used to like this kind of music scene.
Chola or O?
Chola.
Okay.
So there's like a Mexican girl. She had an Oakland Athletics jersey on. She was like in there, like just fucking. I just remember her and some of the metalhead. They just start beefing, right? And the chick and this other chick are like going at it. They start arguing, and I see this metal chick just push this chick in the Oakland Athletics jersey, and the girl gets pushed. She starts falling back, and then she doesn't realize the pit's behind her, so she gets pushed into the pit, and all I see is her just falling backwards and a fucking elbow just come and just crack her. And she got fucking just rocked in this pit, right? And then the show continues. We're sitting there, and then the singer comes up, and he's on stage. He's like, hey, whoever's out there talking about someone getting stabbed, that's not fucking funny, and that's not cool, man. And there's like a moment of silence. Everyone's like, what? And then you just hear someone go, no, someone just got stabbed outside. And then everyone, like, the lights come on, the music stops, everyone just starts going outside. And as you're walking outside, there's just blood everywhere, and you see like a handprint of blood on a table. And then you walk out, and in the front doorway entrance is a Mexican girl, and she's like holding her side where she'd been stabbed, and she's like bleeding out, dying, and all of her friends are around her, and we had to like step over her body, and everyone's just like just dipping, right? Yeah. Everyone's just running away. So we get in my cousin's car, and we're like driving away, and we're like, holy shit, that's fucking crazy. Like, oh my God, right? And there's a moment of silence, and then I'm like, oh fuck, man, I think I left my favorite jacket there.
I love stepping over and being like, oh, that's crazy. Hey, is my jacket still in it?
And I lost my favorite jacket. So two people lost something they cherished that day.
Alive and someone's loved one, and my favorite Volcom jacket.
It was Volcom.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Volcom was hot for a while.
Dude, Volcom was so hot. Too. That diamond, dog.
Yeah, that one was cool. It's just kind of like, it was like upper scale skate shit.
Yeah. I used to work at Zoomies.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. I fucked with Zoomies. Remember Bum Fights?
Yeah.
Got to bring back Bum Fights. Bling, bling, hide his crack pipe in his collar. These events led directly to a military siege of Rizan to locate the terrorists who planned the explosive sugar. Buildings were searched street by street, and residents were told they were to leave their homes due to bandits. They had become a standard procedure during the month. After this, the airport at Grozny was bombed yet again. During an interview, the newly appointed prime minister tells the press that there was a reason to believe that the bandits were operating out of the airport, and there's a clear directive the bandits will be pursued wherever they are and destroyed by any means necessary. The sugar explosives from the failed plot were found from the main support from a multi-level apartment building. Bags of sugar to hide your bombs. What a dumb fucking idea. Right? Like, what guy's just walking around with 50 pounds of sugar? Like, hey, don't look at me. I'm just putting burlap sacks at pressure points of this building that say sugar. If you were a terrorist and wanted to hide your bombs, what would you put them in?
Feminine products.
Oh, okay.
Like tampons and shit.
Okay, I like that one. So just like tiny little bombs everywhere that like use tampons. I was like, ugh. Or are they like clean?
Clean.
Okay.
You also, if dildos were fucking explosive, yeah, dudes would be like, ah.
Yeah, dildos would. But I mean, if there's like used, like if you try it, you're like, what's one thing no one will touch? Used TPs?
No, women will touch those. If you got to go.
I was going to pick up a loose, dirty ass tampon on the ground.
That's true.
Well, used condom, yeah, but you can see through it. Mine would be just one of those like hobo tents. It's like a real bad hobo tent. And it's like one of those, like, you know, I used to sneak out of my house a lot as a kid, and I'd fill up the bed to look like a person, and I would just do that with one of those.
What would you use to fill up the bed?
I had a few wigs from Halloween, and then I would just fill it with dirty clothes. And then I would put on music in my room real low so they couldn't hear if I was breathing or not. And then I would sneak out of my window. My dad was always like, I don't know why your window keeps losing its screen. It's like, because I walk out of it every night so I can go finger my girlfriend in a park. Although this detonation was thwarted due to the FSB agent's incompetence, three attacks with identical explosive placements took place in Bunakisk, B-U-I-N-A-K-S-K, Moscow, and Volgodonsk. Hundreds of Russians died in these explosive attacks after apartment buildings collapsed around them. These attacks were blamed on guerrilla groups out of Chechnya and used to start a new war with Chechnya as they were on the cusp of being recognized as an independent country.
Wait, pause. Can you scroll up? Did you type this up?
Me and my buddy do it. Yeah, why?
Gorilla.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I got a researcher, Dr. Joe Hopswell. He does it. He sends me stuff, and I kind of manipulate a little bit, put it on the questions, trying to make it funnier. But he, you know, sometimes he gets a little sloppy, but whatever. At this point, the FSB has gained so much control that they have officers focusing on carrying out fake attacks. Then they have officers who know about the attacks, and they fake investigate the explosive use, and once they realize it was military grade, it's just a whole fake thing. The Russian government sure has a lot of power and does a lot of weird shit. If you were a dictator, what are some things you'd either like to make new laws about or get rid of existing laws?
Ooh, I would definitely change colors, like what they would mean.
Okay.
Examples? Like street lights and stop signs and stuff.
Confusing? What would you do? What would be go?
Oh, blue and like shit like that. You know what I mean? I'd fuck around like that. I'd make weird shit like it's super illegal to do something on a Thursday, but super fine for it to do it all the other days.
Okay, so you would be a bad dictator.
Yeah, so if you fucking forget that it's Thursday and you're just like, you put a hat on, you're like, oh, we gotta kill you and your whole family. Yeah, some weird shit like that.
My big one is, especially in L.A., people double parking, like just in the street.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you double park, I don't care if you're fucking Postmates or FedEx, if I find you double parking, I get to shoot you in the fucking head. Just because you're fucking... The Postal Service doesn't mean you get a block a lane to deliver fucking edible arrangements. Get the fuck out of the way.
Wait, we're talking about United States Postal Service or are we talking about UPS and FedEx?
Oh, Postal Service kind of cool. I meant the other ones. FedEx.
Those are federal agents, dog.
I guess so. The Russian... okay, that one. The controversies around the Second Chechen War caused Boris Yeltsin to resign his presidency 6 months before the next election, and he hands over control to Vladimir Putin. This is where Pooty Boy gets into the picture. A former KGB officer and political conservative mainly concerned with demonstrating Russian strength. During the writing of the first edition of the book, Alex and Yuri published an anonymous letter from an FSB member who had grown concerned over the number of former KGB officers in the organization who also had strong ties to the Russian mafia. The member argued that the steps needed to be taken across all branches of FSB and reform was necessary to remove the corruption. The FSB member who wrote the letter was discovered and arrested on false weapon charges in 2003, briefly after the first edition of the book was published. As of 2011 edition, the former FSB member was still incarcerated at a Russian work camp. My man is actually still in jail today, since 2003. All he wrote was that we need to get rid of the fucking mafia in their government, and he's been in jail for 21 years in a work camp in Russia, the Gulag. Have you ever been wrongly accused of something? How'd you prove yourself? I guess that one.
Yeah,
you
I guess. Got another one? Yeah, no, that was. I guess that was probably be the same one.
So, fifth grade, it's right around Columbine. I'm going, and this older kid keeps fucking me, but I could beat the shit out of him, right? But every morning, my dad used to work with his partner, and his son would come under my house, because my fence was the same as my fence was right next to school, like right there. And he would drop off his son. We'd hang out. He's a year older than me. While I'm walking to school, one of the kids in his grade, they try to fuck with me. I wasn't scared about anything. But the guy's kind of my friend. He goes, walks up the kid. He goes, hey, man, don't fuck with that kid. He and his dad have guns at their house. Just like saying I have guns. By lunchtime, this was fucking wild. I go into lunch and it's empty in the cafeteria. And I don't really understand what's going on. It's a rain day, so we're gonna go have a recess in the gym. And I'm like, I don't know why everyone. Because right before then, the teacher asked me to come talk to him for a little while, just bullshitting. And I'm like, what's going on? I never got along with my teachers; they never liked me, so I don't know what's going on. And then I get out and I walk, and the fucking school is empty. And I walk into the cafeteria. I get like my weird thing I eat, and I'm walking to the gym for rain day. As I'm walking in there, two big guys. The yard duties, they kind of do the both sides of me, hook my arms like this and pick me up, take me into my fifth grade room where I just was before that, and they start dumping out my desk and my backpacks and throwing everything. And they're fucking yelling, where is it? Where the fuck is it? And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dog. Then they start walking me to the office, and there's helicopters above. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I walk into the principal's office. I see my buddy Sean there. He's weeping, completely surrounded by police officers. And then once I get in there, he admits that he just said it to just have that kid not mess with him anymore. And then, but by the end, they said, by the end, the kids were telling everybody I had a gun in my backpack because I was going to kill everybody. That shit was gnarly.
Oh, shit.
Putin has been in power since 2000 and went back to the Russian Prime Minister of Parliament only to rewrite the law that gave a limit to the number of terms a person could be president in Russia while one of his buddies held a presidency for him. So essentially, he was president forever, but Parliament had to write a law that said the guy could be president forever. So he goes, I'm going to go into Parliament, Frank, you're going to take my shit for a year. And then he writes a new law that he can be president forever. Then they switch back. The book written by Alex and Yuri is currently outlawed in Russia and has been outlawed since its initial publication. Since coming into power, it has been speculated that Putin has utilized his power as a president to remove political enemies through the carte blanche decree he made about military operations and use of the FSB to stop terrorist attacks. I got to be honest. I never met Putin, but I don't think we'd get along. What are some things that make you dislike a person? Could be even before you know him.
Their stand-up set.
Yeah, okay. That one gets you, bad?
Yeah, if someone's not funny, it's like, it's tough. You'd be the nicest person in the world. But yeah, it's like, yeah.
That was one too. That one I had to get over. Because sometimes you got to realize, you know, you're in this and you're like, oh no, this is, they're just a person. They're like a nice person.
Yeah, you know? I don't need to hang out with them.
No. I don't know. I've met, it's kind of wild, man. Because I always felt that way, too. I was like, this guy sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like a doctor. And I was like, oh, I guess, you know, this is just one thing he does.
Well, yeah, if you're a doctor, cool, you're a good doctor. But I could still not respect your comedy.
Yeah. I hate it when someone is nice to everybody.
Yes, I dislike it when, what are you getting at?
Yeah, what are you doing? Because, you know, it's quantity over quality.
Is that one person you don't like?
Let's see, I'll write, don't go on the screen, but I'll say this guy I don't like.
Yeah.
Fucking smiles too much. I don't know who the fuck you trying to smile at, Doc. Because if you smile at everybody, that means this shit don't mean nothing. You know? If you have, if your money's worth anything, you have to keep it. If you give it away for free, it...
And this is something, is if you've never had anything bad happen to you or like a dream crushed, yeah. I can't. Yeah.
Well, it's very fun. Sometimes you hear people's problems and you're like, man, this wasn't really that bad, dog.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife is always like, you can't compare struggles. And I'm like, yeah, you can. I can.
It's what comparing is, making me better than other people. 2006, the poisoning of Alexander Litvinenko. Alexander Litvinenko is one of the authors of the book mentioned in this episode of the podcast that was used to show how Russian security forces have been utilized to exert control and kill political rivals of Russian leadership. This is crazy that we're talking about later. Alex was disgusted by the corruption he saw in the organization and felt that the remnants of the KGB combined with Russian mafia bosses became highly involved in the FSB in order to clear the way for Vladimir Putin to obtain power. Putin is definitely a very smart and a powerful man. If all animals were the same size, who would reign supreme?
What the fuck? Well, all right. Then I got to know the size of the animal then.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter if they're all the same. Let's say everything's the size of a horse. If something's bigger than an elephant, now it's a horse. Roly-poly, now as big as a horse. Dolphin, big as a horse.
Yeah, so I guess anything that's a fish kind of out.
Yeah.
Octopus, still pretty, still pretty good. Still a wild card. Still a wild card.
That's a good one.
Squid, all that.
Octopus is nice.
But if you got to go land, I feel like bear's still pretty up there. I mean, you know, elephant's still pretty terrifying.
Spiders.
Yeah, then you gotta think something small too.
Imagine a fucking spider was the size of a horse.
A snake?
Snake would be pretty, yeah, the Starship Troopers are. I think Harry Potter had a big ass fucking spider.
My ex-girlfriend? No.
Well, she'd have to slim down a little bit. Hey, how you doing, guys? We're having fun out here. My name's Steve.
Fuck,
we're having
you.
Some jokes.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think spider would be... Like, imagine if a spider the size of a horse was just on the Ondas.
I would not drive down Sunset. I'd be like, I'm not going outside.
But also, what if we're the size of horses?
We still are the size smart. Of horses.
Horses are like 1,500 pounds. I'm just kidding. So if we're jacked and huge like that.
I'm the size of a mini horse.
Yeah, a pony. Mm-hmm. I've got pony girth. I think, like, you know, like, oh, like a human with a lightsaber, I think, could take out a few things. Alex detailed in 1998 that he had been ordered to behead and dismember a powerful Russian businessman and make it look like bandits, terrorists had done this. Alex said that this was a direct order from the prime minister at the time, Vladimir Putin. To this day, Putin and his allies will deny any wrongdoing or blatant acts against their political rivals, but many of those can no longer be interviewed due to the death or being housed in unknown gulag in Russia. Beheading a guy seems like a fucking gnarly way to kill someone. This question is a two-parter. We'll start with the first one. If you were a hitman, how would you kill people? You got to think about not getting caught. You also got to think of indiscretion. You got to think of maybe making a statement. What are you doing?
Oh, do I get to be like...
It's you. You're your own thing.
Like serial killer about it? I would like to have the... God, was it not... It's not the talented Mr. Ripley. What is Mr. Brooks? His setup was pretty nice.
What was that? I don't remember that one.
Mr. Brooks was a movie with
Matt Damon,
and then no, it was with oh shit.
All right, whatever. Keep going. We're going to kill people.
Dane Cook was in it. It's pretty hilarious. He's like a serial killer that's got like his own shit and basically like a furnace downstairs, and he kills people, and then like he's able to burn all the evidence and stuff. Very methodical. That'd be a cool way to do it. And he's able to make it look like an accident and shit like that. Like, so he goes all the way. So I'd do it that way.
I like that one. I'm a sniper guy.
Yeah, but then it's like, you know, you get the gun, the residue, you know, the bullets. And then it's like, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. If you can do that without getting caught. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it does seem hard to be caught. That is a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, number
Mine's
two.
Mine's very personal.
Yours is very personal. Yeah, yours knife. You bring them home, then you fucking burn them alive. Number two, if you are going to die, what's the best and worst?
Best way, obviously, I think sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep's the best way to go. Worst way to go, I don't know, man. Like, being, like, stuck at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Would you rather drown or fire? That's the ultimate question, I think.
Drown.
I would rather drown.
Because you pass out before you really start dying.
But they say the fire one, like, goes pretty quick, but.
No, that's a lot of pain real quick.
Oh, imagine, though, you're going down deeper in the ocean.
This is getting me anxiety, dog.
I don't like drowning. But it's like a form of claustrophobia. Best way for me, on a beach, ODing on heroin. That would be pretty awesome.
Blowjob in a car.
Best way to die, blowjob to death. She sucked out my heart through my cock and balls. Alex became a public figure because he decided to tell the world of what the FSB was doing in Russia in order to seize power. He wrote the first edition of the Lubyanka criminal group with Yuri Felishchinsky in the late 1990s, and it was published in 2002. It's so funny how much better I am at, like, Slavic names than, like, Latinx names. I fucking butcher shit and people get so mad. The later editions of the book were renamed to Blowing Up Russia. Alex and Yuri's book was only the second in the entire history of Russia to be outlawed and banned. After being imprisoned multiple times under false pretenses, in 2002, Alex lied to Russian authorities and promised not to flee the country if released. What happens, Alex is fucked up, but in the past he was an FSB member and probably lived a rather luxurious life when he was one. You and I didn't come from a lot of money, so when you were a kid, what was something you considered a luxury?
Oh, man. Going to Blockbuster.
Yeah, that was fun.
And renting like a video game.
That was fun. Oh, that you had it that like, whole weekend. Right when you got good, you had to return it.
Yeah, or you had to like stay up for like three days straight to try to beat it as far as you can.
Yeah, because sometimes the old ones didn't even save.
No.
You just had to keep going.
Yeah, so that one. And then, going out to eat at like an Olive Garden or like Chuck E. Cheese, like I was like, oh shit. Then as I got older, socks,
new socks were always nice.
Man, I really like when I was younger, I'd hate it when people buy me socks. Now I'm like, dude, I need those motherfuckers so bad.
One of my favorite episodes of Cribs was when we went to Dame Dash's and he had six drawers of the NBA socks. He was like, every day I wear a new pair of socks. And I was like, that's the richest person I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know what mine was? Huh. Really weird. When I don't know why, but my dad sometimes would cook Cornish hens. You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's like a chicken that's like the size of like small. And I was always like, this is what fancy people eat. Because you just get the big ass chicken.
Oh.
Yeah, pheasant. Pheasant, there's not much meat on it, though. It's real little. Chicken, a Cornish hen is like, it's a small chicken.
When people would poach eggs, I was like, this is how this is how rich people eat eggs.
Boiled. Upon release, Alex went to London with his wife and began speaking about his book, exposing the corruption of the FSB in Russia. Within Russia, Putin and his allies blocked all broadcasts of Alex's interviews and made him out to be a bitter man who had been fired from the FSB for his own incompetence and failure to put the protection of Russia over his own life. Internationally, Putin's team tried to discredit the validity of what Alex was talking about with the book. Alex would work with Spanish and British intelligence, helping them understand how the Russian mafia and the FSB worked across the globe in order to help them stop their crimes. I'm going to guess that Putin isn't going to take this well, but Alex was mixed up with some bad people. Speaking of mixed up, how much sawdust do you think you can mix into Rice Krispies before someone could tell?
A lot. I'm surprised that's not a majority sawdust.
I would say the sawdust to Rice Krispie combo is pretty close. Because it's mainly you're mainly going in for the mellow.
Marshmallow, yeah.
It's all mellow.
Yeah. It's all mellow, baby.
What's your favorite edible to make?
Edible to make? Like, I'm personally making it. Rice Krispies, easiest one to do.
Yeah, Rice Krispies is fun.
Yeah. Brownies, pretty good.
Dude, I remember my used to... I was like 16. My buddy made a bunch of... weed butter. And I used to dip my weed in the butter to think I'd get higher, and it was the grossest thing I've ever smoked. It's like smoking a fucking chicken wing. On November 1st, 2006, Alex met a group of SFB officers that he trusted and believed were loyal to him. This is what you're going to hear. However, this was a grave mistake. While dining on sushi, Alex and the officers ordered some green tea. Within the night, Alex was hospitalized with severe abdominal pain. Might be the sushi. Doctors could not determine what was causing his illness, and he quickly lost 33 pounds over the course of 2 to 3 weeks, and all of his hair fell out. 2 days before his doctors discovered that he had been poisoned with polonium-210. Polonium-210 is an alpha-emitting radioactive isotope, which means that it was a substance that was lethal to humans if it was inhaled or eaten.
Holy shit, the KGB's got me already.
Yeah. I just wish I could lose weight.
Yeah. It's not working.
It's not working. Come on, more plutonium.
Yeah.
What a gnarly but smart way to kill someone. Russia couldn't claim that they did this, but I'm guessing they're pretty proud of it. What are you proud of, but have never had an excuse to talk about?
What am I proud of, but I've never had an excuse to talk about? You know, oh shit, that's such a crazy,
isn't it? It's a good one.
That's a good
one. I thought
of
that today.
What am I proud of that I've never? This may sound weird, but I'm pretty good at Magic the Gathering.
I like Magic the Gathering.
Yeah,
we could play sometime.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
I got a lot of them.
Yeah, I reached Mythic rank on Arena.
Oh, you don't have the cards, though. You got
No, I still buy cards, but I play on my phone, and reached Mythic like
is that good?
The past few seasons. I mean, it's like top 10%.
Really?
I mean, you know what I mean? I don't want to brag or anything.
That's
but,
pretty good.
But yeah, so yeah, that is probably one. Yeah.
You want to hear some real sad, pathetic shit?
What?
I was an only child, so I used to play Magic the Gathering against myself.
No, that's how I used to play.
Oh, yeah?
You build two different decks and you see how it plays. Yeah. No, that's not weird at all.
I think everyone else said it was pathetic, but I think you and I just kind of
you
got
to see how that deck plays again.
Yeah. I would just do that all the time, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Essentially, by drinking the polonium-210 from his green tea was the same as if Alex had eaten a bomb that slowly goes off inside your body over time. The polonium-210 first destroys his stomach, then moved on to his liver, kidneys, while simultaneously giving him all the additional symptoms of radiation poisoning. A horrible way to die. After being poisoned with polonium-210, Alex only lived for 22 days. Imagine that, 22 days, you lose all your weight, 33 pounds in 22 days. All your hair falls out and your fucking internal organs are dying. He's a fucking badass, right, though? Check this out. Hours before he died, the doctors finally discovered the specific isotope that was killing him. But unfortunately, the only way to prevent death was to administer the treatment within 2 hours of poisoning. His final words: "You may succeed in silencing me, but the silence comes at a price. The howl of protest from around the world will reverberate, Mr. Putin, in your ears for the rest of your life." Oof, that was good. In 2010, a British human rights court ordered the Russian government to pay the widow of Alex 100 grand of British pounds for the damages and 33,000 pounds for court fees. Russia has yet to pay his widow.
Wait. Ask that question.
Frank, how you feel about Putin?
Before I answer that question, can you scroll up? You mean to tell me that guy that died only got $133,000 and Russia hasn't even paid them yet? Listen, I will not stand for these crazy allegations against Vladimir Putin and the Russian government. I fully support what they got to do. You know what I mean? I feel bad for the Russian people for all the terrible things they have happening against them.
I mean, he is a G.
Yeah.
Like, he is a gangster because he did plan this shit out for almost... Fuck, when this podcast, he did it for like 30 years. He long-conned it, knew he was going to work his way up, started from the beginning, making ways, knew he had to connect with the mafia to get more power. Then he got more power. Then he murdered everyone who got him to be power. Then all the rich people that he had owning all these oil companies, kills them, has the government take their shit. He is the government. And now they say he is the richest man in the world.
And he can fight. Do you know he can fight?
Yeah, well, you know, no one's going to beat him up. He kind of fights like fucking Steven Seagal. It's like, okay, I don't know who's gonna punch fucking Putin in the face.
Do you ever hear the story about when he came to visit the White House? And I can't remember what famous football player was there. And he comes in, all the KGB's there, all that shit, or whatever. The security's there. And then he walks up to, like, the famous football player, and he asks to see his Super Bowl ring. And he takes it off and he shows it to Putin. Putin grabs it, looks at it, and goes, "Nice." And he puts it on his ring. And then he walks away. And he's like, "Hey, I need my ring." And they put, like, security guard, like, puts his hand on his chest. And, like, they leave. And then the president has to call him and be like, "Just so you're aware, you gave that ring to Putin as a gift on behalf of America." And he was like, "No, man, I need my fucking Super Bowl ring back." And
he like, stole it from Robert Kraft. Putin stole Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, fucking ring.
Yeah, he was like, "I need my ring back." And he goes, "No, you're not getting that ring back." And so, yeah, they had, I don't know if they made him a new ring, but yeah, for real, Doc.
Well, yeah, well, the owners pay for the ring, so he just made his new ring.
Yeah, so, but yeah.
We talked about what's the worst guest ever. Imagine going into someone's house, taking their ring, and then leaving.
Oh, this is the most prized possession you have? Mm-hmm. A trophy for one of the coolest things you've ever accomplished? Cool, I'm going to take that.
So this is Alexander Levinko. This is that motherfucker about to die.
Ah, they got him. No, sorry. I'm a dick.
Yeah, it does look like NoHo. So, but, guys, this is going to be the first installment of the Putin. We do a lot of hitmen here. The next episode, we're going to go through all the gnarly people and ways Putin has killed people. Frank?
Am I going to die?
You know, actually, the weirdest one that I thought I might have died have been the last two episodes with CJNG, the Cartel Jalisco New Generation. I'm still alive. I'm sorry, El Mencho. I honest to God mean no beef. I'm just reporting on what's already in the internet. Please don't kill me and literally eat my heart. That's what they're doing now in Mexico. It's fucking insane.
So am I going to be good when I go to Cabo?
Yes. So this is a long thing in this podcast that I've learned. We've done 60 episodes of the worst organizations in the world. There's some ways you're not going to get in trouble if you're a criminal. One, if you're selling drugs or being a gang member in America, just kill other gang members or people in your neighborhood, other poor people. Once you stray bullet hits a kid, once you go into someone better neighborhood, that's when the cops come after you. If you're in Mexico, you don't kill Americans because then the DEA comes after you, FBI. So El Mencho, the leader of the CJNG, which, honestly, God, you should. That was pretty insane episodes, wasn't they? Yeah, that, if you want to listen to crazy shit, listen to the last two. I mean, the most evil people I've ever even heard of. They have schools in Mexico right now for little kids. Not like a school, but like they fight each other. Winner has to eat the other kid's heart.
Yeah, that's just being raised in a Mexican family.
Yeah, you eat the pig heart, now you eat a human heart.
Yeah.
But it's fucking gnarly. Frank?
I survived through three brothers and sisters.
They're all dead. I've eaten a lot of hearts.
Yeah.
Frank, promote some shit.
You can find me on Instagram, Frank Castillo. I have a link tree. I'm going to be in Texas, Houston, September. And then I got some other shit coming up. But follow me on Instagram. That's where I have all my stuff. Catch me here at the Comedy Store.
All right, guys. Thanks for everything. Thanks to Frank. Thanks for Tony Gidley. Thanks for Bruce Gray. Thanks for Comedy Store Records. See you guys next time. Peace.